Hierdie is 'n ma en 'n mikrofoon, 'n Afrikaanse podcast vir en oor Afrikaanse ma's en ouers. Ek is Daniella van Heerden, die ma agter die mikrofoon wat al die vrae vra. Welkom by hierdie episode. Goeiedag en welkom by 'n ma en 'n mikrofoon. Usually I speak Afrikaans because this is an Afrikaans podcast about and for parents. But today my guest is English and I've had English guests before. You might remember the episode about Joey Evans, who was paralyzed but then completed the DACA. So go have a listen to that as well if you happen to maybe only understand English. But today my guest is Louisa McQueen. And the reason why we are speaking is she used to live in Australia, but now she's a South African. She immigrated here. And I've done episodes in the past that did really well about firstly a South African family who moved abroad but then decided to come back. I did another one about a South African family who's lived in the States for a decade now. And I thought this would be an interesting addition to that discussion. So Louisa, thank you for your time and your unique perspective. I did say a bit about your family now, but in your own words and in a nutshell, please tell us about the McQueens.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on today. I'm very excited. We are the McQueens. I immigrated to South Africa 14 years ago when I was 18. I came here very fresh, not knowing anything about South Africa. I actually didn't even know that Afrikaans was such a big thing here. So I feel like I was kind of thrown into the deep end. But the plan was actually not to stay here. And I ended up marrying my boyfriend, who I met on an exchange program in Oz. And then we decided to give it a go here, see how it went. And like year after year, it was always on the table, but we ended up staying. We had kids and we had one that was born in South Africa and one that was born in Oz. But we're just very happy here living our life in South Africa.
So when you were 18 years old, did you move here because of love, because of this boyfriend that you met? Do I understand correctly? He's a South African you met in Oz, you moved for him. Is that how it worked out?
Yes, exactly. We did long distance for a while. I think it was maybe like 9 months or something. And then I just couldn't stay away. So I decided to do a gap year here instead of going straight to uni. But that kind of just continued on and then I never left.
I think if you grew up, then you stay in Australia 18 years and you've been here for 14, that gives you quite a good perspective of enough time in both countries to be able to speak about the differences. But you say your one child was born in Australia. Did you go back for a while or how did that work?
So I had an accidental visa ban just before the pandemic hit. And when we arrived there, I think it was about 3 days later and the whole world just shut down. And then I think about a week after that, I found out I was pregnant. So the whole pregnancy was on that side of the world, the birth and everything.
That's a story in its own, finding out you're pregnant in another country and not being able to come back. Goodness.
Yeah, it was actually very sort of, there's a bit of trauma that came around with that because it was so unexpected. And we were actually very lucky because my husband was supposed to fly back. And last minute, he just said, I have this feeling that I should cancel my flight. About 3 days later, everything shut down. So we just had this huge, like, thank you. Like, that would have been a disaster.
Wow. I'll continue about the rest now, but I have more questions about this. So did you guys, were you able to stay there and work during that time? Where did you stay? Did you have a place to stay? Did you have family? How did you manage that?
So we were actually staying with my dad. He lives in Adelaide. We were bunking in his spare room. And then when we kind of realized that, okay, we have no idea when we're going to be able to come back to South Africa. My husband has some businesses here. So he was kind of just working from there and trying to make it work as best he could with the time difference. I luckily wasn't working at the time because my daughter was only two. So I was just home with her. And because my husband is a permanent resident of Australia and I'm a citizen and my child is a citizen, we were able to get government support and government help to actually help us with like finding a home and helping with like childcare subsidy, which came through quite quickly. So I think if that wouldn't have been an option, it would have been a very different scenario for us. I actually don't know how we would have managed there. But we found a little place to rent. We found a beautiful school for our daughter. And my husband just worked, you know, during the evenings, and we had the days together. So wow. It worked out well.
I think so many people have COVID stories to tell. My first daughter was born March 2020, and that midnight she was born, we went into lockdown as well. So my whole maternity leave looked very different than I planned. But Louisa, let's get back to what we're talking about. Like I said, I think we're here, especially in South Africa, we know so many people immigrating, different reasons, of course, opportunities abroad, some go and come back, of course, crime and corruption, but it's not always negative. But I think we hear of more South Africans going abroad. I think people are sometimes surprised if they hear someone from Australia, New Zealand, America actually moves to South Africa. So what are the reactions that you get when people hear that you decided to make South Africa your home?
I think most people are shocked, firstly, because they hear my accent and they don't believe that I actually do come from Australia. And then secondly, the questions are just like, but why would you do that? Australia is one of the greatest countries in the world. Like, you know, why are you're making a mistake? You should take your kids there. So I think I haven't had very many reactions where people are like, oh, okay, that makes sense. It's people seem to be very confused.
I do agree, though, that I agree that Australia, and I have friends who live there, that it's one of the greatest countries in the world. But I am quite patriotic as well. I love South Africa. So I want to hear your perspective. Why did you decide to stay, and why did you decide to have and raise your children here? And I'm saying this as a proud South African who also raised my kids here, and I love my country.
I know. I love South Africa, and I will always advocate for it. I know that it has its issues. We can't say that it doesn't. But I think for us, a lot of it comes down to like the way that we would like to raise our children. For me, growing up in Australia, I was taught that there was God, but I was never like Christian. And there are a lot of atheists in Australia and so many different religions. And since coming here, I have found Jesus and am very grateful that we get to raise our children in a country where it is something that is accepted and recognized. It's taught in schools. It's kind of around us all the time. So that is one of the reasons that I really want them to understand and have a strong knowledge that it's good to be Christian and it's normal and it's accepted. I just think there's so many influences there that I would be worried that the kids could be, you know, drifting off into other areas very quickly from a very young age. So that is, I think, one of our biggest factors of wanting to live here. Some of the other ones is just the way that kids are raised here. It's not, you're not swaddled in cotton wool. It's more of, I don't want to say it's rough, but kids are just not, they're given more of a chance to thrive later on. I have to be very careful with how I say this, but it's more of a rough upbringing. They're taught that life is hard. You work hard. You have a good work ethic. And I mean, I've seen it over and over again that in other countries, people want South Africans to come because they are just hardworking, well-mannered, have a very good upbringing in knowing who they are. And just, I think it prepares our kids very well for the outside world. And so that is a big factor for us.
What you're saying actually echoes what I heard from the family as well, the South African family who moved to the Netherlands for a while and came back. They also said lots of positives there, but for them, the religious aspect, and for their children, the freedom, they're also Christians, to practice that in school was definitely a big factor as well. And tell me about your husband. So him being South African, the two of you, was it a bit of a big culture gap? Did you guys have to do a lot of work when you were married? Or I think, though, that South Africans and Australians are not that different. I think there's more cultures that differ a lot. I think we have a lot of similarities. Did that make it easier? Or was there still a lot of things that you had to adapt to and work on because he's South African and you're Australian born?
That's a really good question. I think because we could both speak English, that definitely helped, that yes. there wasn't a language barrier between us. But I think because
English
I came
first
over...
language, sorry.
I think he can speak both the same. He grew up being able to speak both very well, but
English
I think
and Afrikaans.
Most English and Afrikaans, exactly. But I think just his faith was very difficult for me to adjust to. I'd never gone to church on a Sunday, and his whole family would be like, okay, today we're going to church. And I'd be like, again, like I have to sit there and I don't really understand anything. And so that was something that I'm very grateful for happened, because otherwise I don't think be where I am now in my faith. But also when it comes to parenting, I was a lot softer. I had very different ideas of how we would parent. And I think he is a lot more stern, and he says things the way that they are. He doesn't sugarcoat them. He's very straightforward. So for me in our relationship, that was like, I was very taken aback. And now I understand that he's not criticizing me. He's not trying to be horrible. He's just telling the truth. And I appreciate that. I like that a lot now. And that has sort of filtered down into our parenting. So I'm a lot softer and he's a bit more of the strict parent, but I can see how that really benefits our children, because he like keeps them in line and they know where they stand with us. And it's just not something that I thought was normal. I didn't see that in Australia.
That might be a South African man thing then, because my husband as well.
I think it is.
And not in a disciplinarian, authoritarian way, just in a very, like you say, these are the rules, these are the boundaries, in a way that I also sometimes, you know, when I give in or I'm just so tired and I just want to say yes, he's like, no, these are the boundaries they need to know. So
yes.
That is maybe just, and it balances me out as well. So I'm so glad for that. Where did you guys decide to stay in South Africa and why?
Where did we decide to stay? So we live in the Lowveld.
Yes, because the options, everyone will say, are you in Cape Town? So tell us which area you're in and why did you decide to settle where you are?
So a lot of people do think that we live in Cape Town, because I think that is, most people around the world have heard of Cape Town and it is so yes. beautiful. But we decided to stay in the Lowveld, which is close to the Kruger National Park. My
That's
husband
so beautiful.
Was... very beautiful in a completely different way, but it's really beautiful here. My husband went to school here. He grew up here. So it kind of just happened naturally that we decided to come here. We did spend a couple of years in Pretoria where we studied at uni. But then we were drawn back here. I think the bush it's peaceful. And I think we needed that.
And how old are your children now? Because I think that also influences that, like you say, the way you raise them with in regards to discipline and boundaries and the things that they can and cannot do. You know, handling a toddler is different than a young child or a teenager.
Yes.
So where are you guys now in your parenting journey?
So our oldest is 8 and our youngest is 5. So we have gone through the baby phase and now we're at the older child phase, which comes with its own challenges.
And boys or girls or one of each?
Our oldest is a girl and then we have a boy.
Okay.
So one of each.
And do you have any foreigner friends that you've connected with, or is most of the people in your circle locals? Tell me about that.
Most of the friends that we have here are local, all South Africans, but I do have some acquaintances and some friends who are actually Australian, which is really funny. A friend of mine, she's Australian. She lives in the next town over. So we see each other sometimes, but it's not often. I think mostly everybody I know is South African or has like a little bit of a mixed heritage, maybe some like British, you know, they maybe have both citizenships, but they were born here.
And I want to speak a bit more about the raising children. That's so interesting for me, because I would think, and I've never been to Australia, but I know that there's lots of people who live on farms there as well. Some of the areas look quite similar to South Africa in the sense that it looks, you know, spiders and snakes, and that you kind of have to be out and about. Sometimes it looks like a very outdoorsy life. Of course, I know there's differences and there's cities, but in that way, it looks similar. So why do you think that it feels to you like raising children here is different in terms of especially like discipline, manners? You especially mentioned raising boys here, that boys are raised a bit differently. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, that's great. I would actually love to touch that because that's something that is one of the factors why we decided to stay here. So I know that in Australia, you can have all different kinds of life. You can have city life, be at the ocean, be at the bush, like be in the outback, and which is similar to South Africa, actually. There are a lot of different ways to live. So when I talk about things in my content, obviously it is all subjective to what I've experienced, and I can only speak from that perspective. But when it comes to raising boys and the manners that they're expected to have and the chivalry that I feel like South African men are raised to have, it is very different to what I experienced growing up in Australia. I think that boys here are expected to be generous, kind, not that they're not in Australia, but it's just there's a different form of chivalry here and respect for women that I wasn't aware even like existed in the world. I thought that was just the old-fashioned way of doing things. When it comes to, if I think of our little boy and we go to a bride, someone's house, you know, he'll shake the other dad's hands, and he's only five, and we try to raise him in a way that he's very respectful of the girls around him. You know, he's expected to take care of them, make sure that, you know, they're included in things that they're doing. If they need help, help them with things. And I think that's not something at all that Australia does. It's like you are equal in everything that you do and all the things that you do for one another. So oftentimes if a man or gentleman opens a door in Australia for a woman, you know, the lady might turn around and be like, oh, I can do that myself. Like, you know, I'm strong and independent. And that, I think, is one of the biggest differences that I've seen. And I really like the South African way of raising kids and boys specifically.
Do you think that also has something to do with the religion? And tell me about your process as well. You say from going from, are we going to church again, to actually converting and being a Christian. Was it a long, gradual process, or was there a moment that you realized that something has changed?
Yeah. I think it was definitely gradual. I didn't have like a wow moment where, you know, I heard a booming voice and then I knew it was, you know, God speaking to me. But I think just from being exposed to people going, oh, come to church with us on a Sunday, speaking about Christianity and faith very openly, I started to question things. And just from listening to how my husband would pray or the things that he was praying about, that I could see, wow, that had to be a miracle. Like, that could not have happened. And this is actually an incredible story because it's like unheard of. And I know that God can work in the small ways and the really, really big ways. But when my husband applied, we tried to move to Australia. Long story short, the door closed. We ended up coming back. But when he was applying for his visa, they said, no, it'll probably take 2 years. And my husband went and he prayed and he journaled and he just said, God has told me I'm going to get it on this day. And it was like 2 months from the day that we applied. And everyone just thought, there's no way, you will not receive it. I'm not kidding. That morning, he opened his email, visa approved. And I just thought, that has to be God. And that was before we had children. I thought, there's nothing else that could have made that possible. And I think from there, it just kind of snowballed for me. And I started to realize, maybe I should go to church more. And slowly over time, it wasn't a huge, you know, boom moment. I ended up going, yes, Jesus is the one. And then we ended up being baptized. Well, I ended up being baptized and giving my life to Jesus. But it was a long process, maybe 4 or 5 years.
Thank you for sharing that as well. I was just curious as well. I also want to know, I always speak with, if you speak to South Africans who live abroad or decided to come back, it's that element of, what did you miss? What made you miss home? And for you, it's the other way around. Staying here, what do you miss about home? Or home is probably South Africa now, but growing up in Australia, what are the things that you miss or wish you had?
I think the first one is my family. It's a big thing for me. I didn't realize it at the time, but I think since having children, it kind of becomes more difficult to live with, especially when they start to talk about family and, you know, their uncle and their grandpa and their oma, that it's it makes it more difficult for me leaving them behind and not having those little everyday interactions or seeing each other for birthdays or Christmases or just, you know, can you pick the kids up from school and go do something with them? That is something that I miss. But Australia specifically, I think the freedom that comes with living there in terms of just being able to, and I know it's like not like that in every town, but, you know, walk outside the door, take your kids on a bike ride to the playground, maybe meet a friend at the cafe, you know, stroll down to the beach, which is not possible here where we live. I think maybe Cape Town would be a bit different, or Stellenbosch, something like that might be possible there. But I think the kids are just able to be out and about more, whereas I find here in South Africa, we're a little bit more secluded to each other's homes.
Speaking about that, what were some of the hardest parts for you here to adjust to? That, of course, but other things as well, apart from missing your family and just missing home, what, and maybe just small funny things as well. We're South Africans, we have our own quirks and our own strange little habits and things that we do. So how was it adapting here? Yes. What were some of the difficult parts?
So I think the language was difficult. I know that there are, is it 12 official languages now? But I was exposed a lot to Afrikaans, and with my husband's family also being Afrikaans, I just remember sitting at the table and going, this is all going over my head. And they would try and be like, oh, sorry, we forgot, you don't understand, speak English, and then revert back to Afrikaans because it came so naturally. So I had to learn very quickly to be able to understand. But I think just the slang around certain things, you know, like if you're meeting up at a braai, everybody's talking about things, you kind of feel a little bit outcast sometimes, not because they make you feel that way, but you can't always understand just the little nuances that like everybody else understands. And then I'd have to ask my husband afterwards, like, what were they talking about? Even though it's English, I still, you know, some references people make, I don't have any knowledge of it. So I can't participate, which was difficult for me actually at the beginning. And then biltong was a huge thing for me. I think I probably offended my in-laws when I moved here because I was like, to me, it just feels too much like dog food. Like, I'm so sorry. I can't eat it. I cannot do this. No, now I love it. I've been completely converted. But when I arrived, I was actually vegetarian. So for me, I was like, I cannot. I won't try it. I'm sorry.
How did you stop being a vegetarian? Did you kind of just give in?
South Africa.
You being vegetarian?
Yes. No, I don't know if you would, at least not when I arrived, because, you know, you'd go to a restaurant and be like, do you have anything vegetarian? They'd be like, chicken, we have chicken. I'd be like, no, that's still meat. I can't eat chicken.
Sounds like a South African.
Now I think it's changed a lot. There are a lot other food options out there if you are vegetarian or like vegan.
Yes, Woolies has come along and catered for all the vegans and vegetarians as well. But Louisa, yes. If you're out and about and you meet new people, do they realize that you are not born and bred South African? Because I don't think you have that typical Australian accent anymore, right? 14 years is quite a lot. I think you've amalgamated.
Yes. No, I don't think anybody can really tell. I think there are a few words that I say maybe with a bit of a different accent, or I'll maybe say a word and they're like, oh, that's not South African. Where are you from? But it's not often.
That they know, yeah.
No, they weren't.
Your mom is German, right? You can actually speak a bit of German. I said that helped your Afrikaans efforts. Can you speak a bikkie Afrikaans?
I can a bikkie praat, maar nie goed nie. I'm trying, but the understanding is much better. But I don't know. I think that German has helped. I am fluent in German. It helps with the sentence structure. So I've noticed that the Afrikaans sentence structure is very different to English. It's a lot more similar to German, but there are just some words that I don't know, the tongue says it differently in Afrikaans. And for me, it just comes out very German. So I'm a little bit like embarrassed to be speaking it in public.
I think at least Afrikaans people love it if someone tries, if it's not their first language. So you don't have to be good at it, but just trying. I think any South African, if you attempt to speak their language, there's a lot of grace for just trying. So you sounded very good when you spoke now. I was quite impressed. So well done. What are your favorite South African things? Maybe on the lighter side, now that you've adapted and you enjoy biltong, what else do you really love about South Africa?
The food is a big one. Australia is really good on food too. Germany, not so much, I don't think. But just the coffee culture here, the wine culture, just being able to meet up with people around a meal and it becomes a whole experience. It's not, you know, the food has been pre-prepped and then everybody comes, eats, goes home. It's really a whole experience of coming together. It feels very community orientated, which is something that took me a long time actually to get used to, of being like, wow, there are people often in my space and, you know, they want to actually know about my life. It felt very intrusive to me, not growing up with that kind of being the norm. But now I'm like, everyone come over, like we'll do a braai, we'll have dinner, like let's help each other out, which has been really, really wonderful for me. I just think also the friendliness of South Africans. I mean, Aussies are also very friendly, but here people, they say it as it is, very honest, very like forward about things and just very welcoming. So I've found that to be like really, really nice for me.
And did you get used to the fact that you might be invited to a braai only to eat very late in the evening, right? We tend to do that.
That's huge. We'd arrive and I'd be like, why are they only like making food now? And it's like 8 p.m. I'm like, I'm so hungry. I'm used to eating at like 6. So we have learned to come prepared. You bring some drinks, you bring some snacks just to cover you till you actually eat.
Yes, full of chips by the time that it's actually time for supper, but that is the way that we do it. Louisa, exactly. Tell me about growing up, and especially, I usually end off my podcast with this question. So tell me, this is a parenting podcast and a mom and a microphone. So tell me about your mother, your German mother, and what did you learn from her, maybe especially in motherhood and how you raise your children as well. So tell me a bit about her.
Okay. So my mom is German. She moved to Australia before I was born. I think she was in her 30s. And Germans are kind of known to be a little bit more strict about things when it comes to time management. But she did it through a very, very kind way. So I think from my mom, I really learned to be very respectful of other people. To also just be kind and gentle and soft. I don't think I ever remember my mom like raising her voice at us or getting really angry about something. She did everything in a way that was so kind, caring, and gentle. And I definitely think that that has carried through in my parenting. You know, obviously, all of us moms, we get overwhelmed. We raise our voices. You know, there might be a time where we shout and then, you know, apologize afterwards. But I think she really taught me to come forward in every situation with a soft heart, still having boundaries, but being very kind and gentle and soft about the way that you kind of approach every situation.
A great lesson to have and something to carry forward as well, especially if you have a husband to balance it out with a more disciplinary approach, right? Thank you so much. Do you have anything else that you want to add that we didn't speak about yet that you think is important to say?
Not really when it comes to the parenting. I just think it's amazing that there are so many more people speaking online about like life in South Africa now, because I think that the world in general doesn't get the picture painted that you see when you actually live here. Because before I arrived, even my family and friends in Australia, they have absolutely no idea what it actually is like to live here. And I'm just very grateful to see that there are so many different people coming out and speaking about South Africa and just sharing things more from a South African perspective. I think it's really, really great for the world to see the good that is in South Africa.
And have they come to visit you, your close family and friends?
So my mom and dad have come to visit. Everybody else has been a little bit more reserved in terms of aunts and uncles. But my brother has been, and he's actually bringing his wife, so my sister-in-law, in December. So we'll do a whole trip of South Africa, which we're very excited for.
Oh, enjoying the weather's going to be great, of course.
It's going to be
Thank you, Louisa. Thank you for sharing your story. You are online as well. People can go and follow you and the adventures of the McQueens in South Africa and just giving a fresh perspective. Like I say, often with these discussions, and you'll see in the comments as well, people respond and say they don't agree or they do agree. But you said yourself, you can only speak from your own perspective, and this is what you experienced. So someone else will have moved here and have a whole different story. But that is the point of these discussions for me. And people... being informed and just seeing how other people live and making the choice that works for you. There's South Africans living in Australia who say they are so happy they would never come back. So to each their own. But I like hearing about different families learning from different people and their perspectives. So thank you for sharing yours and telling us why you moved here and why you are now, I do believe, a proud South African.
Yes, I really appreciate you having me on here today. This was a very nice discussion.